Good morning. It's interesting to me how God works things out. As many of you have known, for the most part, I don't pick my own texts when it comes to picking Sunday morning texts, because I would end up preaching on pet subjects and doing all kinds of silly things that I shouldn't do. And so I use a church calendar that has readings for each Sunday and all the holy days. And for about 90% of it, those are where the texts come from. And so today, we had a baptism of Morgan. And we dedicated our Sunday school teachers. And our text for today follows along right in that line. By no design of mine or anybody else. It's when all the things just kind of come together. And the longer I'm in this, and the longer I do these things, I find out that God leads and guides these services better than I could ever dream of. By the power of His Word and His Holy Spirit, He brings us to the places that we need to be and the things that we need to hear. And because of this great mercy that we have, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise on the third day. But they understood not that he is saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? And they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one such child in my name receiveth me. And whoever shall receiveth me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes very, very shortly after the Transfiguration. After Peter, John, and James had seen Jesus Christ in all His glory, had seen their heroes still alive from the Old Testament, and yet they are on the road and they really don't know what Jesus is all about yet. They've seen the Son of God, but they don't get it. And when they went on their way there, they passed through Galilee. And he didn't want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying, The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Jesus is teaching his disciples something that he did not necessarily publicly speak of. And so as he is going through Galilee, his hometown, he doesn't really want all the people to know. He doesn't want them to know he's there, because he's kind of having this moment and this time with his disciples that he's teaching them something that they are going to proclaim all over the place after it has happened. Jesus Christ knew the reason that he came to earth. He knew that he was going to be delivered to the chief priests, to the religious people, and that he was going to be beaten and nailed to the cross to shed his blood for our sin. But he also knew, on the other side, 3 days later, he was going to be raised for our justification, that we too would have newness of life, as we heard earlier this morning. Jesus Christ is telling his disciples exactly what is going to happen. But his disciples, of course, being who they were, human beings, they didn't get it. And this is the interesting thing, because his disciples are walking down the road, and they don't get that he's about to offer up his life for all of mankind. What are they doing? They're arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. Now, this is just, to me, one of the most things that's just absolutely opposite. Here we have the Son of God talking about what he is going to face, about the ultimate sacrifice that he's going to pay for everyone, including those disciples. And here's his disciples over here going, "Hey, John, I'm better than you." "Oh, no, you're not. I'm John. Jesus loves me. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. I'm the best. Well, I'm James. I'm the brother of him. I mean, what do you want? I'm the greatest." This is human beings. These are adults who have been hanging out with Jesus for quite some time, being taught by him. And here they are having a grade school conversation amongst each other. "Oh, I'm the best." But this really, really proves who we are. We want to be greatest. We want to be the best. And so we quit following Jesus Christ, and we start to follow ourselves. And that's really what our second scripture reading talks about from Jeremiah. Because he says this, "For the gods have become as many as your cities, O Judah, and many of the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to the shame, altars to make offerings, and offerings to Baal." But Baal is a stone god. And so they can give whatever attribute they want to him. And this is really, unfortunately, what we as human beings do. We set up gods to look like us, to act like us, so that we're the greatest. You see, I follow this set of rules and I go to this church and I do these things, so then that means God loves me more. I'm the greatest. Or I serve on my church board. I give X amount of dollars every week to the church. I even teach Sunday school. I must be the greatest. None of these things mean anything. And this is really where Jesus gets to. because he starts to address this. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" Now, I think this is great, because it is like a bunch of little kids. They kept silent, for on the way they had argued about one another about who was the greatest. It's kind of like when I used to coach basketball, and you'd walk into the gym after being in your office and the kids were out there, and you go, "What are you doing?" And they knew they were messing up, and there was just silence. They walk around, nothing. And this is kind of what the disciples were doing. They knew doggone well what they were doing was wrong. And yet, we in our flesh want to know that we are somehow great, to the point that we'll look at others and put them down so that we can lift ourselves up. This is not our calling. And so Jesus does this. He brings all the 12 around him. And he said to them, "If any of you would be first, he must be last and servant of all." Now there's something that none of us like. Our calling as believers in Jesus Christ is to be a servant. Not too many years ago, I used to get the command, "You got to tell us how to live." I'm telling you right now. If you want to know how to live as a Christian and as a believer in Jesus Christ, this is it. You serve. You put your own wants, needs, and desires below those of someone else. Your wants, needs, and desires are no longer important, but the other person is important. You see, this is the hard part. And I told this story in the adult class today, and I'll tell it today. And neither one of them are here, and so it's too bad. I'm going to tell the story. They may get upset with me, or one of them might. The other one's in heaven, so I don't have to worry about it. But there are two men who I've watched since I've been here, and I know have been serving this congregation for a lot longer than that. And most of us wouldn't even know who they were if they walked in here. Or many of us wouldn't. But each and every time that there's a sewer problem down at Lottie, they get a call. And they go in and clean out our filth. Nobody likes doing that job. But they do it. They put the needs of each and every one of us and of our congregation ahead of what they want. They don't want recognition, so I'm not going to give you their names. Some of you know who they are. They don't want to be lifted up. They want to do their part to serve us. Those are the people that we should honor. Those are the people who take care of our needs. Quietly, efficiently, without glamour, and in fact a pretty dirty place. But that's the definition of servant. Not asking for thanks, but doing it because of our love for one another. And then Jesus does this. And he took a child and put them in his midst among them, and taking him in his arms, and he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." This is absolutely an incredible statement by Jesus here, because at that time, children, for the most part, except for the firstborn male son, meant not much to the society in general. They were important within a family, but to the world outside, they were kids. They didn't have anything important to say because they were kids. They didn't really need to be respected because they were children. And yet, Jesus puts an ultimate value upon children, to the point he equates them with God the Father himself. If you are going to serve that child, he says, you are serving me. And if you are serving me, you are serving God the Father. Our calling is to serve the least of these in the world, to take care of them, to show them love, affection, to show them the grace of our God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and to take care of the other. It's different for each and every one of us. I don't know who you're called to serve as an individual, but I know you are called to serve. We have a body sitting here that can change the world if we do what God has called us to do, to be His disciples and to serve others, to put our needs on the back burner and lift up and fulfill the needs of others. And in doing so, we serve Jesus Christ and God our Father. And we don't do this out of some obligation, except out of our obligation of love. Our obligation, we serve because we have been served. We heard earlier in our text that Jesus was going to go and be killed. He did this for us. And so we just do what we saw our Savior do. We serve others selflessly to the end, out of love for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks that indeed you did send your Son, that He did shed His blood for the forgiveness of our sins, but Father, that you also raised Him for our justification. And we ask, Father, that you would be with us through your word and your spirit as we leave here, that we would quit worrying about who is greatest among us, and instead we would look at people other than ourselves to be greater than us, and that we would serve them, that we would care for them, that we would love them, and by doing so, Father, that they would come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would know of your love for them. Father, we ask that you would continue to raise up volunteers, to raise up people to do the service of your body. work in our hearts and our minds to bring us to the places that we need to serve, to the people that we need to serve. That, Father, we would indeed be lights to this world for you and your Son. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.